You're listening to Go Fish with Mike Buck on AM 690, The Fishing Answer. This segment is being brought to you by the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council at wpcouncil.org. Now, troll on in.
Yeah, and you know, thanks once again to Captain Dave Marciano from the Hard Merchandise. Too bad we couldn't get him to come to the Hawaii Fishers Forum coming up. Anyway, I told you early in the program, we're going to hook up with some friends of mine and talk specifically about what's happening this Wednesday night at the Pūmaikaʻi Ballrooms at the Dole Cannery Building. It's a great opportunity for you to come together. And before we introduce you to some of the panelists, some of my friends, we're going to first talk to our dear friend, Sylvia Spalding from the Western Pacific Regional Fishery Management Council, to sort of explain that if you've been to previous fishers forums, you can almost like forget about it because this is going to be a new baby. What's going to make this year, this one different from others?
Well, I guess usually we did talk to scientists and managers and fishermen. And this time what we're trying to do is to talk about people who have covered fishing in the news media in Hawaii.
Yeah, and this is the reason why this is great is because every single one of us, if you're a journalist, if you're a reporter, your job is just to report stuff. If you're a journalist, you got a little bit of leeway. And if you're a host like me, you can do whatever you want. But the thing is... what you read and see is what these guys do. And that's why it's kind of important that you bring yourself there. I don't know at this point in time, I guess some of the topics are going to be secret, but what did you envision at the council when you put this together? What sort of an interaction are you looking for?
Well, the title of it is Hawaii Fisheries Getting the Full Story. We wonder if readers and politicians and others are really getting the full story of Hawaii's fisheries. Yep. I mean, our fisheries are one of the top 10 fishing ports in the nation for value landed. We're the top producer of food that is produced here in Hawaii, more than agriculture when you look at the money that's brought in. But that story doesn't seem to get told. So we want to look at, you know, what stories are being told, are stories being left out, are angles to certain stories being left out, you know, and how is what's being put in the media and what the public is learning maybe affecting the fishing policies and how our access to fisheries in the future might be.
Yeah, and let me tell you how important that is. I don't know how many of you have got people that say, well, I saw it on the internet. It must be true. I mean, you know, come on, I read it in the paper. It must be true. Well, that's sometimes true, but here's the thing. Let's say if you ever had anything written about you and you thought, this isn't exactly 100% accurate. They didn't get the whole thing. Well, you can compare that story in that column to the one next to it and say, even though you don't have anything to do with that story, is this one true too? So that's maybe some of the things we're going to find out. So without further ado, let's get on with some of it. First of all, the panel discussion that's part of our Fishers Forum this Wednesday night is going to be moderated by our friend Paula Akana from KITV Television. And no question, Sylvia, over the years, she has been certainly sitting and passing on an awful lot of these stories. So it's going to be kind of neat for people to meet her and say hello.
Yes, uh-huh.
And some of the others that are going to be there, we'll tell you about later. But right now, we got two guys with us that are going to be part of it. And one guy doesn't have to say the one that got away because he shoots them. And I mean, shoots them with a camera. He doesn't eat them, but he eats some of them. This is it's kind of neat to have Dean Sensui. As you know, Dean is the producer of Hawaii Goes Fishing, and we're going to talk about another TV guy in a minute. But Dean, you've certainly seen a lot of water under the bridge. Does it sometimes bother you when you see a story that you know is not 100% accurate?
Oh, absolutely. You know, I've got a journalism background, degree from the University of Hawaii, and they always taught us, you know, get it straight, get it right, and get it, you know. Do it fair.
The five the other W's, side. Right? The five W's. Who, what, why, where, and when.
Yeah, you know, yeah. And sometimes how come.
Yeah, exactly. and yet, it's sort of interesting because as a journalist, you'll know, you can only produce what you can gather. I mean, you can only opine or put it together. So if you're in there for a quick mow, blow, and go, you're not going to get the whole story, are you?
No. Yeah, and the thing is that, you know, you've got the opportunity to ask questions, right, when you do a lot of these things. And sometimes you'll get people who say, no, I don't want to talk about it. Yeah. But more often than not, like in terms of fishery science here, there are a lot of people who are willing to talk about it. Just got to go out, you know, reach out and ask the right questions to the right people.
That's really great. And Sylvie, in some respects, that shows how the bottoms up of the organization is, right? I mean, particularly now with the community-based management and some of the other input you're getting. And I'm hoping that some of these reporters are going to report, because I am, on some of that stuff and how valuable old, you know, Tutukani over there in the bushes is a pretty valuable guy when you start talking about his place.
Right, and we're hoping that the news media will come out to this event, as well as the fishing yeah. community. We did send out a media advisory to them. So
some are coming, by the way.
Right.
And some of you that might be listening to this show, no excuse. we're gonna send you to the website, but also tell you that it is free. It's this Wednesday evening from 6 to 9 at the Pomaikai Ballrooms at the Dole Cannery. There's going to be all kinds of cool stuff included, if you were worried. Validated parking. Stan Wright has been synonymous with fishing here on television for many, many years, and he is a great guy of fishing a small kind and big kind, and he is also going to be on the panel. Nice to see you, Stanley. How you doing?
Oh, good to be here today.
You know, it's sort of interesting, isn't it? I'm sure you've had a chance to take a look at the panel and say, oh, I know all these guys, but have we ever sat in a room together? I don't think so.
I don't think we ever have.
Yeah.
Either you see one or two or sometimes, but never all together. This is going to be great.
You've always been the go-to guy. On places like Lake Wilson, you know, and isn't it sort of funny that was, how far away from your thought was that when you were in the ocean doing all the fishing that you did all those years on Let's Go Fishing?
Never thought about it at all.
Yeah.
It's just, you know, there's one, just another fishing opportunity yeah. here in Hawaii.
Hey, by the way, Sylvia, he says, he claims he's a retired photographer. He ain't retired. You know, that's just rumor. It's kind of neat to have you there. And I think that a lot of people that are coming here find out through being referred to the lake. Don't a lot of these kids and folks from the mainland not even know that fishery exists?
There's people that live in Waihewa that have no idea that there's a lake there. I'm serious. We used to have open houses give boat rides to people, and they'd come down and say, oh, we crossed the bridge every day, but we had no idea this beautiful lake was here.
One thing that I might want to ask you about, and this goes back years and years, but it shows the power of media. Let's talk about when that lake was overrun with the Salvinia molesta, you know.
Boy, I remember stuff. That.
And let's talk about how the community got together because of press and coming out there to help.
It literally closed the lake for a little over a year. I mean, you couldn't put a boat. It looked like a golf course. And the Army, the Navy, city and county, the state, everybody got together and worked to clean it all up. And like it took $1.2 million and over a year to get it all cleaned up. But, wow, it's great now.
For those that don't know, Stan, how can they hook up to get bass fishing information?
Well, I have a website, and it's strictly an informational website, Hawaii Bass Fishing.
Yep, that's really good.
www.hawaiibassfishing.
That's sort of interesting, Sylvia, because I do know that most of the stuff that the council does is in the district, in the field, but now there's this great online presence, and we need to give kudos to the people at the council that are working hard on a user-friendly WP Council website. Isn't that wonderful?
Yeah, we have all sorts of video, lesson plans, information, all of our meeting agendas and background documents are there. So we hope that the whole idea, again, of the Fishery Council is bottom up. So it's to get the fishermen, the fishing community to provide their input and to get the knowledgeable input, they've got to stay up to speed on what the issues are.
Okay, I have a very expensive sound effect that I'm going to employ here. That's the incentive bill. I mean, it's not just that it's a free night, right? We're going to do some kind of stuff. Like what?
Well, we've got informational booths, and we have door prizes. And we've got door prizes from Nico's. He's donated five $25 gift certificates. Hawaii Fishing News has Les Hata framed lithographs, subscriptions, almanacs. We have Sihana Pa'a has donated a $100 gift certificate. Pop has donated $130 Shimano reel and a $100 gift certificate. Stan here has provided a reel that he says kayak fishermen are using and would go good on that Shimano reel too.
Yeah, hey, wait a minute. Let's make sure that this, we talked about that with Stan for a minute, because I saw this brand in print one time, but I never saw one. I think people would be amazed, because you got a pretty good collection, and so did the late Jim Rizzuto have a pretty good collection of reels, but aren't you flabbergasted? Won't people be shocked at how technical these things have become and how good they are?
I had never seen this particular brand of reel before 6 months ago, And now I'm finding out all the, you know, they use it for long distance casting. A lot of the guys are using it for bottom fishing. The cat fishermen on the mainland, they all use this reel. And it's very popular in Taiwan, one of the top reels there.
And by the way, the brand of it is Omoto, which seems like it'd be, you know, right in the middle of the thick of the thing. And you're going to actually pair it up maybe with a rod. You got some rods too, right, Sylvia?
Yeah, we got a rod from Pop Fishing and Marine. And another friend of mine, Ricky Tong, has donated 3 lures that he made. So and Piff G is going to be donating things. So yeah, come on down and win some prizes. And we also have informational tables.
Yeah, and by the way, the informational tables, the parting gifts are great. And by the way, this is a family deal. Although it's going to be, you know, it's in the evening, and so it's not little kid friendly. But of course, if you've got a teenager or somebody that's learning the ropes, by all means, bring them. And the good news, like I said before, it's validated parking. I think maybe the other side of it, if we can get Dean Sensui in for a minute, because, you know, not that you ever put away your journalist hat, but today in what you do is Hawaii Goes Fishing. And what is the difference between the way the show has gone in the last year or two than before? You've sort of moved into a wider look at things.
Yeah, this goes beyond fishing. You try to do some educational things, some how-to stuff. And beyond the show, I try to get people to get a better understanding of the scale of the resource. Mm-hmm. I come from a background where I thought that Hawaii was being fished out. I used to fly a fish spotter, a coolie fish spotter, and back in the 80s, and he was telling me that before he'd pick up like 1,000 pounds, and that when I was flying him, he was picking up 500 pounds. Mm-hmm. So I figured, well, in another 5 years, you'll be out of business. Mm-hmm. But you know, here he is 30 years later.
Pretty resilient.
He's getting, you know, 1,000 pounds, sometimes more. And what I've learned is that what controls that take is the market. There's only so much akuli that people will eat in Honolulu.
Right.
So, you know, it's definitely not overfished. You know, a lot of people talk about overfishing and whatnot. And I try to get that word out if I can.
Stanley will remember this. I too used to have an akuli operation, and we had a couple of guys flying for us back in the day, and you catch anywhere from 500 to 1,500, 2,000 pounds a day. And then there were times that either was no fish. Yeah. And you thought, what's up with that? Well, the fish are pretty smart. And so isn't that interesting that if you look at point in time surveys for the homeless people or the whales or anything else, if you fly around the island and think that's the way the fish is all the time, it's way off.
It changes day to day and season to season and year to year.
Yeah. Okay, so it's interesting that we're going to have on the same panel two guys in the TV thing. Let's go back to our good friend Stan Wright, former co-host of Let's Go Fishing. Now, there's a couple of stories in there. I spent, as a youth, a couple of trips on the back of the Golden Marlin and you know, back in the day. But isn't it sort of interesting where that show has just kept its place and kept its place and kept its place for as long as it has, decades now.
Well, when Bruce Carter started, I guess, what, 1970? It was home movies, black and white home movies. They were all as expected to. Yeah, exactly.
The main sound effect on that show was you could hear the Olympia can.
Bruce did. He did put Olympia on the map. I'll tell you.
It's the water. I remember that.
And then I guess it was 1980 when Harry and I took over. Yeah. That's when they switched from film to videotape.
Right.
And then we had sound in there and the color, the quality and everything like that. And it was amazing.
Look at today. I mean, I'm totally blown away at Dean's work. And I remember in my Portraits of Paradise days having $100,000 Ikigami camera.
Yes.
That you can get a GoPro that'll do you a better deal than that now or something.
Oh, yeah. You keep the GoPros running constantly. You can catch that strike shot that you normally wouldn't get.
One thing that's interesting, and I hope this comes up a little bit in the panel, even though it's a little bit off topic, when you talk about the data and you talk about the way you can use technology to do inventory or to do counts, it's way beyond the expectations of most of us.
Yeah, I did a project a couple of years ago with Makani Christensen and Teddy Williams, and what we did was we took a collection of GoPro cameras and worked with the science guys at Westpac and came up with a survey of akua for a whole year. And the interesting part about that is that you can get a good look at the fish when they're undisturbed. Mm-hmm. Compared to, let's say, if you're going to do a cred survey with divers, you get a diver jumping in the water, the fish run away, and
them all out
and
there,
now your counts way off. But now with the cameras just sitting there for an hour quietly, you see all this activity that you would normally never observe.
Yeah. Yeah, and what I think is interesting, Sylvia, to that, and maybe this is going to be part of the discussion, the gathering of merchant, the gathering of information now is so much more sophisticated and so organized that, and the council's on the leading edge of this. I mean, who knew that the your stock assessments and all of these things would be so way more accurate than they used to be?
Right, and Dean, I think weren't you involved in? Was it Puako on the Big Island where? I know McConney was involved in it, and where, you know, the news media and some of the scientists using traditional methods were saying it was overfished.
Yeah.
And as fishermen, they know that the fish are still there. Maybe they're a little further out. And so they went and videotaped that. But it's like that kind of what media, what news gets disseminated to the policymakers.
I've got a couple. Those of you that follow my journalistic thing these days, it's limited pretty much to the a column that I or a feature that I do every week, every month in Hawaii Boats and Yachts. And I get a lot of feedback from that because it's, you know, I mention a lot of the council stuff in it. And I think that's just, you know, another source where it's kind of interesting. And I think maybe Stan and Dean, I'll get you both to chime in on this. In this is a real eclectic group. I mean, like I said, we've never sat together before. How did you find out about it, and why did you say, oh, yeah, I want to do that?
Oh, I got a call.
Yeah.
And she said, oh, could you come by? And I said, wow, this sounds like a fun deal.
Was it the voluntary call that I got to?
Yeah.
Yeah.
We were volunteered.
But, you know, I think that it makes a difference because what I'm looking forward to is I know all these guys, but I've never been in the same room with them.
Yeah.
You know, I mean, I just think that that's a pretty good interest. And I think that it may be, Dean, it's going to encourage us to talk with each other even more. When somebody's doing a project, if they know, oh, yeah, that guy used to catch a coolie, or that guy knows a little bit, or I saw a story he did on so-and-so. Let's be more complete in what we write.
Yeah, I think so. You know, by getting to know people and expanding your universe of contacts, it gives you a better, as they say in journalism, a better beat.
Yeah.
So you can actually get a more complete story and get a broader view of things and not base your story on your particular own point of view.
Yeah, yeah. And it's very, very hard. I mean, right now we're going into, you know, the political cycle and a lot of the journalists and talk show hosts like me on my regular show, I make an opinion. It's not fact-based. It's me, you know. It's just what I feel like. But that's why I think, Sylvia, it's pretty interesting because I hope this is the first of several opportunities that the council has to do this sort of a format. Because I must tell you that some of the forums were a little too highbrow for regular folks. I think a lot of people that have never been to a Fisher's Forum should think about attending this one.
Yes, and we've talked about the panelists that are here who have covered fishing, but we also have journalists on here who fishing is not their main beat, but
let's talk about them.
They write stories about fishing.
Yeah, there's a couple of them, by the way. So in addition to Dean and Stan and myself, there are actually going to be three other panel members. One, of course, is Catherine Cruz. Catherine, as you know, long time at KITV, and now she is a co-host on Hawaii Public Radio. So Catherine Cruz is going to be there along with Carrie Johnson. Those that don't know, Carrie Johnson is the executive publisher of
Hawaii Fishing News. Yeah, she's actually the daughter, Chuck Johnson.
Chuck Johnson's daughter.
Right. And so, you know, I used to work at Hawaii Fishing News.
Of course.
Carrie used to be like, you know.
Yeah. Isn't that kind of neat?
Yeah.
Yeah, it really is. You know? Yeah. That's why we see, you know, in some of the stuff that you look at WPCouncil.org, when you see grandpas and grandmas down at the beach showing a kid how to pick limu or pick, you know, or harvest from the sea, it's kind of interesting. So that's good. And then, of course, I don't know one of these panel members. I don't know. I do know. I mean, I shouldn't say Nathan Eagle, is it?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yeah, he's with Civil Beat. I see his stuff, but I've never met him yet. So I'm looking forward to that.
Right.
So, but once again, I think people ought to know, what are we going to talk about? What do you expect to be the conversation? Is it just going to start running, or are we going to have stories that we're all going to comment on? How do you see it working?
Well, actually, I'm meeting up with Paula on Monday,
mm-hmm.
and so we will get you all the questions Monday afternoon so you can reflect on them. So, but we are hoping, again, like how we had the little blurb on our posters, you know, to just look at what stories are getting covered. Mm-hmm. Are there gaps in stories? What are the readers asking information for? And how is this media coverage affecting the policy on fishing? You know,
yeah, like and not just fishing.
Yeah.
Let me give you a case in point, because I think this is certainly going to come up. There's very, very big concern. As a matter of fact, there's a piece of legislation that we're all keeping an eye on. And once again, I want to thank Uncle Roy Morioka for letting all of us know what pertains to fishing. If you go to the legislative website and just use the keyword fishing, you'll find out what's on the table. It's really important. Some of that will be discussed at the forum. But one thing that I think is really important, that we take a look at that from, let's say there's one piece of legislation that is to do with a derelict boat, a boat that goes up on the reef. And we all know that one of the longline boats that went up on the beach in Waikiki, it was kind of an embarrassment to all of us, right? Because it was there forever. Nobody could understand why it took so long. And there were a lot of stories, and they all weren't that accurate.
Right.
You know, so, I mean, now look, and now it's gone, but the memory leaves on.
Yes. And that story, it tended to be a hook for a different story not, it was just tangibly related to.
That being said, when I go back to this, if you see, I think, and I'm sure that, I don't know, Stan and Dean going to agree, maybe they are, if I've got a boat that I run up on the reef and it's a problem for me, there's got to be consequences. And just as though I think this bill is looking at, I don't know if either one of you guys had a chance to look at it, but this bill is looking at who's financially responsible. Mm-hmm. And in the by and large, it's either got to be the owner of the insurance company.
It's got to be.
Yeah, yeah.
Everybody should be carrying insurance anyway. I paid for mine last night.
Yeah, I know. I begrudgingly did the same thing a couple of weeks ago for mine. But it lets you know, look, we are budgeted items. We're line items. And they expect certain of us in our boats are going to get in trouble. That's what the responses are for. But when you have one that's over and above the top of another one, that's another problem. Stan, what do you think about all that stuff on the flotilla and the drinking? Because I know that's going to come up at this meeting.
Oh, man. I'll tell you, that's a mess.
It's ruined a lot of good stuff.
It has. Yeah, you got a couple of bad apples that ruin it for everybody.
Yeah, yeah.
But there's a, I think, the safety concern.
Yeah.
You know, people getting, well, dying.
Yeah, yeah.
And so we're going to have to do something about it.
And there's any number of things, and I guess, Sylvia, that it's, you know, maybe one of these days we can expand it and get some of the Maui News and Hawaii News guys in, because I do know that we have to explain the difference between friendly and unfriendly islands. There's some people from Oahu that go to another island to go fishing. They're not well received.
Yeah, that's true. And I was thinking, too, it's not only just fishing, too, it's seafood, you
sure,
know.
Yeah.
I mean, there was an article today about how the scrap metal, because of the Trump, you know, tariff on metal, that's like for Hawaii, that's the top exporter above the top five ag production that we do. Now, I went down and looked at the statistics, and, you know, they had shrimp there and they had abalone, and they didn't have wild, caught fish.
Mm-hmm.
And so, you know, but it's our seafood too. Yeah. You know, policies, news, all that affects our seafood supply. We all want local, fresh caught seafood here.
Yeah, and that's going to be part of it. And I think that the takeaway, I don't know what I'm hoping for, but I know, Dean, that we're all going to be doing something that we're going to be, excuse the expression, but fish out of water the first time for this to kind of see what's going on. But what do you want? What do you think that should be a takeaway? What should somebody that's contemplating coming that are listening to our program right now thinking, well, maybe I'll go to that thing. What am I going to learn?
Well, there's a couple of things. One is that commercial fishermen fish for everybody.
Yeah.
They're not out there fishing for themselves, right? If it's not for commercial fishing, there'd be no seafood in the market at all. The other thing is that, locally speaking, the lion's share of the take is from non-commercial fishermen.
Mm-hmm. The lion's share. Most of us.
Yeah, yeah.
The weekend warriors.
Yep.
And I also expect, I don't know what you think, Stan, because I know that your fishery is regulated, that you need a license.
Yes.
You know, and right now, it looks like the move to put licensing on the ballot this time is gone into committee. In other words, it's done.
I think it's... tabled someplace.
But you know, there's many people that said, well, if it goes, and I know that this is a big issue at the council, if it goes into the fishery, maybe part of it's a good thing. If we can keep regulations going and put teeth in it and enforcement in it. Right now they're saying there's not enough money to do that.
Well, you know, like Dean just said, the majority of the fish that are caught by non-commercial fishermen.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, I got a question for you. How many people in Hawaii fish? Nobody knows.
Nobody has any idea. I know there's been a number flopping around that we tried to adapt, that maybe not fishermen, but we've reckoned that 150,000 people were somehow attached to fishing.
Well, it's more like 300,000.
Yeah, I bet.
That's
the
estimate.
Yeah.
There was a study 30 years ago on the mainland, and it found that one out of three people went fishing at least once during the year.
Yeah, yeah, it's amazing.
Well, actually, Conservation International will be one of the informational booths, mm-hmm. and the council did do a project with them looking at this about marine license versus marine registry. And so that they might have
We all kicked like mules, Stan, didn't we? when they put that ramp sticker in.
Oh, remember the $25
ramp? $25. But it was earmarked specifically for the ramp. So even the hardcore anti-regulation, and I don't want to be counted guy, said, okay, here's my $25. Use it to fix the ramp.
Now, Lake Wilson doesn't require that. Isn't on that their funny? Ramp. Yeah. But I pay my both boats. Yeah. I have my $25 deal.
Yeah.
And we've got a new parking lot. They've made improvements to the ramp. We got a new bathroom up there. Yeah. Hey, you know, that money helps. Yeah.
Well, I think that if you're looking to find out what happens, gang, first of all, I want you to go to wpcouncil.org anyway. But and I want Sylvia to explain. We'll tell you once again about the hours and the incentives. But this is a part of a meeting that is it really is the part where the bottoms up comes in, because this forum brings raw emotions and feelings from the fishermen up to the decision making process.
Right. So this week, Wednesday through Friday, we have our council meeting, but it's held during the daytime, and we realize that a lot of people can't take time off work to go to the council meeting, and that's one of the reasons we hold the Fishers Forum. Mm-hmm. It's in the evening so that hopefully people can come down to it. The council members will be there, so what they voice during the question and answer and comment period that the public gives after the panel discussion, the council members will hear it.
Yeah, I'm so looking forward to this. So once again, a real quick rundown. The moderator for the panel is going to be Paula O'Connor from KITV. I'll be there along with Catherine Cruz. She is co-host of Hawaii Public Radio. Nathan Eagle is a reporter at Civil Beat. Carrie Johnson is the executive publisher for Hawaii Fishing News, and Dean Sensui is the producer of Hawaii Goes Fishing. And last, because he's retired, but not least, Stan Wright, who is the former co-host of Let's Go Fishing. It's free, F-R-E-E, validated parking, and real quickly, a couple of more of these prizes that we're going to give away.
Right. A lot of gift cards, $25 to $100, reels, rods, lithographs from Les Hata, who's done drawings for Hawaii Fishing News.
But Dean and Stan and I don't get any of those, right?
Yeah. I don't think
we don't count.
Yeah, we don't count.
Stan, why don't you hold that reel up so everybody can see?
Yeah, there you go. Hey, listen, I paint pictures on the radio. He's laughing only because he's got a camera. So there's always been this animosity between his gang and my gang. I just say we're just like television. We just don't have pictures.
I like radio better. It's a lot easier.
We're a lot more immediate.
You notice I dressed all up so you'd see me on radio.
By the way, Stan Wright dressed down for the occasion. I mean, some of us have to go on for the rest of our workday, but nah, he's going on.
Stan, didn't you say you had a radio show for a long time?
Oh, yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Oh, yeah. Mine was more like Paul Harvey's The Rest of the Story, but for over 20 years doing that. And I was a writer for the Hawaii Fishing News. Yeah.
And also for the America's Sports Fisherman.
Different. Well, saltwater sportsmen, stuff like that.
And that's what you see with everybody. I mean, everybody in Hawaii, because we have to wear multiple hats. That's why I think, folks, if you're thinking of this, particularly if you are a family that fishes, this is a really good cross-section of the journalists and reporters that report on stuff that you like. And if you just bring your manao to the meeting by saying, to tell this panel, myself included, what we want to see. I mean,
there you go.
We do what we want to do, right? What do they want? Let's go find out what these folks want. Yeah.
And if they have to come straight from work, we do have refreshments.
That's right.
Ooh, I'll be there.
Yeah. That was the Pavlovian response from Stan Wright. Hey, thanks so much, Dean. Nice seeing you,
even though
you have a camera. And Stanley, and we look forward to seeing you on Wednesday night. And thanks so much for being here as part of what we do today. And Sylvia, everybody, if they want to know more, they go to wpcouncil.org. Email info@wpcouncil@noaa.gov. And if you want to use the old-fashioned telephone, no problem. 522-8220. 522-8220. Our special thanks to Captain Dave Marciano of the Hard Merchandise. We'll be having him on after he catches some more fish pretty soon. And if you want something on the program, you know what to do. Drop me a line, themikebuckshow@gmail.com. themikebuckshow@gmail.com. Have a great rest of your weekend. See you at the Fishers Forum Wednesday night at the Dole Cannery's Pomaikai Ballrooms from 6 to 9 o'clock. Come say hello.